here's a story from The World.
The Biden administration announced $300 million in new financial aid for Afghanistan today. The U.S. will also be sending more than 4 million doses of coronavirus vaccines. That assistance comes at a critical time for Afghanistan. Since the Taliban took over last summer, the country has lost a lot of the international aid that helped keep the economy afloat. And that's far from the only challenge faced by many ordinary Afghans. The World's Shirin Jafari reports.
Since the Taliban took power on August 15th, life for 33-year-old Wahida Amiri has been one shock after another. First, she lost her job. She was a librarian. Then she was told she can't leave her home without a male relative. And now she's witnessing a humanitarian disaster unfold in her country. We lost our identity and our dreams, she tells me, from her home in Kabul. The Taliban say they want an inclusive government, but so far their actions paint a different picture. Amiri and other women activists are not staying quiet. Starting just 3 days after the Taliban came to power, they went to the streets to protest, and they haven't stopped. We have gone out to protest many times, she says. We're demanding that the Taliban allow teenage girls back into schools. Education is a basic human right, she says. Amiri says the Taliban's response has been fierce. Protesters have been beaten, tear gassed, and threatened. Amiri recorded this video in December from the backseat of a taxi. She had just left the protest. Through tears, she explains how Taliban men attacked women protesters, firing shots in the air. Are we not human, she asks. Our lives have been upended. We have no future. The Taliban takeover happened fast. Even the group's leaders seemed caught off guard by how quickly they were back in power. Omar Samad used to be Afghanistan's ambassador to Canada and France. He's now with the Atlantic Council, a think tank in Washington.
On one hand, they have been very busy consolidating power. On the other hand, they have had to relearn or learn from scratch how to govern.
The Taliban were in power for a short period in the 1990s. But now, Samad says, they are facing the realities of actually running a country of some 40 million people.
They do not seem to have enough people who can handle technical aspects of governance. And on top of all of this, of course, we have seen this very troubling humanitarian crisis unfold in Afghanistan.
The World Food Program estimates that 98% of Afghans don't have enough food to eat. UNICEF says 1 million children are on the brink of famine.
The numbers that we're looking at far exceed the combined total civilian casualties from the various armed attacks that took place in Afghanistan over 20 years.
Fanula Ni-Alein is the special rapporteur on counterterrorism and human rights with the United Nations. She says unless there is a major shift, the humanitarian crisis could turn out to be worse than the war itself. Last month, after much pressure, the United Nations lifted some restrictions on humanitarian aid. A good step, says Ni-Alein, but it's not enough.
A one-year reprieve is what I have likened to shuffling deck chairs on the Titanic, where humanitarian actors get a small amount of time to do work that simply cannot be done.
The world needs to engage with the Taliban, she says. But that's not a top priority for the Biden administration.
One of the tragedies of this moment is that the United States is behaving as if it is done with Afghanistan because it decided to leave. The leadership moment is not in walking out. The leadership moment is in what you do afterwards.
The financial aid for Afghanistan announced by the Biden administration today will bring the total U.S. assistance up to $780 million. That money will flow through aid organizations and not the Taliban. Meanwhile, people inside Afghanistan are not only fighting hunger, but also Taliban's harsh rule. That's according to Sami Mahdi, a journalist and university lecturer.
They have oppressed women, they have oppressed minorities, they have continued punishment of people on the streets, they have outlawed music.
Taliban pressure has not stopped Afghan women from protesting. Wahida Amiri, the activist, told me sometimes they gather in living rooms and basements. They hold up signs that read, "Education is a human right," and "Work, bread, freedom." They then post photos and videos online. Amiri says she will continue to raise her voice despite the risks. For The World, I'm Shirin Jafari.